are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Wednesday edition, a winky Wednesday. Nick Winkler joining me momentarily. I do want to remind everybody first to subscribe, rate, review the show on the new Himalaya podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's not where most of these mailbag questions are going to be coming from. We've got some emails to get to. I've got a backlog of emails. You can find the email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com or go to LockedOn49ers.com and find everything you need for this program. And let's not waste any more time. Let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, what's happening, my man?
Sitting here enjoying life and really happy that the 49ers have said no to Hard Knocks. You just don't need that drama in your world when you're trying to figure things out there in Santa Clara.
I don't know if the 49ers demanded it or were just very thankful to not be forced to be on Hard Knocks, I think is the best way to describe that one. And I got to believe it's the Oakland Raiders, but I think it's good for, I think it's bad for us. I think it'd be super fun to have the 49ers on Hard Knocks. It'd be so much to talk about here on the show, give us so much insight to what's going on with the 49ers. And it's always nice to have the curtain peeled back, but I got to believe one of the teams that also can't say no to it is the Oakland Raiders. It seems like that's got to be the perfect Hard Knocks team for 2019.
Right. I mean, you get John Gruden on there and you know, everything that he's going through and the fact that they're going to be moving to Las Vegas soon. And yeah, that would be the perfect fit. I just, you know, you never know who they're going to go with. You know, they might just be like, haha, it's the Jaguars. Just kidding. You know, like,
yeah, there
just
might
throw us off.
There might be a team that needs a little bit more juice or something that they want to put out there. But I got to imagine ratings wise, Gruden, Mike Mayock, Raiders, the move to Las Vegas. The weirdo that is Mark Davis. I mean, it's just too perfect.
Yeah, I could go for a little more soft knocks this year.
I think, yeah, the 49ers got to do a little more soft knocks at least.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch.
Get some slow motion training camp highlights.
Woo, yes, please.
All right, let's see what else we got. Well, there's not really any news to talk about, so I think we should start get going on this mailbag. I do want to shout out, let's see here, one of my listeners, he said, Brian and Nick love the show. Looking for a little San Jose Sharks love and all the 49ers there to support them. Your thoughts, go Sharks, cheers.
And yeah, so, did you see the video where McGlinchey pulled his sweater over his head and they all poured beer on him?
I love that move. Isn't that like a torture thing?
Yeah. Is that waterboarding?
Yeah, I think pretty
that's
much.
Waterboarding,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently McGlinchey celebrates that way.
Got beer boarded.
Right. Beer boarded, love it.
But it is fun to see the Bay Area unite with the playoff run that's going on with the San Jose Sharks. It's a lot of fun. And obviously, they're right down there next to Santa Clara, so that makes sense. Warriors on their playoff run as well. Hopefully, the 49ers this season will be on their own playoff run.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that. But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I've been watching, you know, pretty much every Sharks match since that first Game 7. I've been tuning in, so it's been a lot of fun. We're recording this Tuesday night, so we got the Warriors tonight, so hopefully they can pull it out with KD. And yeah, this is good time to be a Bay Area sports fan.
Absolutely. Let's keep going on this mailbag. I want to start with Dr. Sean Thurmond. He said, I heard you guys talking about Rashawn Woods today. He was talking about, that was, I believe, the Monday mailbag podcast I did. He said, I'm not sure if he's still fishing as much as he used to, but he did win an Oklahoma State championship as a high school football coach in 2017, completely turned the program around. See, I did not know he was even coaching. I just knew about the fishing stuff. But so he is still involved with football. That's good. And turning around an Oklahoma program.
Yeah, I mean, that Oklahoma, man, they're pretty close to Texas there. So football is life down there. I know that for sure. So good for him. That's good. You know, he didn't work out in the NFL and, you know, you become, what is he, a pro fisherman? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if he was professional, but I know he was a tournament fisherman, like some kind of a semi-pro level, like in an Oklahoma. I don't know if it was a national thing. I don't know if it was the televised Bassmasters ESPN2 type of thing or if it was just a local Oklahoma thing. But I know he was a tournament fisherman, at least for a while.
I know that as soon as you win any kind of money, though, technically you're a professional. So
that's true.
I'm assuming he has at some point.
Yeah, or some, like, you know, won some prizes of some sort.
Yeah.
Are you a professional since sponsored? You won money and prizes on The Price is Right?
I'm a professional game show contestant. I've been on two and I've won on both. So yeah, I think once you get a second one under your belt, that's when you know for sure you've made it.
And that was the Wheel, right? That was the second one you were on.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune back in 2000. I was just a baby.
Wow, that's amazing. And
you Google hard enough, you can find it.
Oh, really? I have not seen the footage of that one. Okay, I didn't realize that was out there because I thought they all got taken down.
They do, but occasionally, you know, just someone puts it back up, man. It's wild. I've put it back up a couple times, and it keeps getting taken down. But, yeah, I'm a bald-headed little goatee, you know, 20-year-old on there, man. It's great.
All right, I got it.
As skinny as can be, yeah.
Got to do some.
Again, highlight of my life, though, Vanna White at the end saying, yeah, you're cute. It's like, oh, my goodness. Vanna White just said, she's like 50 at the time, but she still looked great.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, I got to do some research then for next week's Wink and the Stink, and we'll maybe talk a little bit about that if I can find it.
There we go.
Did you have, the Rashawn Woods thing, the question was, what was the biggest, like the most heartbreaking draft bust? Do you have one for the 49ers?
It's Druckenmiller. You know me, man.
Oh, Druck.
You know me. That's my biggest, because I was a Jake Plummer guy, and I wanted him so bad, and then we went Druckenmiller, and oh, broke my heart.
So it wasn't even that you thought the guy they drafted was going to be great. It was that you knew they passed on the guy who was going to be great, and then the guy they did take was awful on top of it.
Yeah, like it would have been all right if he had gone in there and been a Pro Bowler, you know, or actually been a good quarterback at all, but he just wasn't, you know. So at the time it was heartbreaking, and then it just got worse and worse and worse.
It's wild that not only do players just, you know, that makes sense. They're not great and they have, you know, kind of a mediocre career or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for a healthy player that you draft in the first round, like all
right.
Among whatever, it gets whittled down from thousands to maybe 200, 300 guys that you think might be draftable or can be in an NFL camp. The top 25 of those, you pick one guy in the first round that you think is your guy, and he doesn't even, like, literally does not play at all for you.
Right.
That's insane how bad you can miss in the NFL draft. Like, how is that even possible?
I mean, it's just a swing and a miss, you know? It's just as big as it can possibly come, you know? It's one of those things where they did all their homework and they probably just looked way too much at the numbers. You know, like, oh, this guy's big and tall and strong arm and this and that. And, oh, he probably did great on the Wonderlic. And it's like, yeah, but can he play football? You know, like, does he fit your scheme? Does he fit what you want to do? Or are you just looking at this specimen?
At least they were good enough in college to play and be on the field. So to go from that to not even be allowed on the field because you're so bad, that blows my mind sometimes.
I know. I feel bad. Like, I know Druckenmiller probably, you know, didn't do it on purpose. You know, and I've thrown a lot of hate at him on this podcast and the one we had before that. But it's just, you saw Jake Plummer and you heard the Joe Montana comparisons, you know, and oh, this and that. And Bill Walsh apparently was telling them to draft
him.
And
he stamped
him. And then they didn't. And it's like, what are you guys doing? Oh. Yeah, so I guess it's not so much the Druckenmiller pick as it is the pass on Plummer.
Right. And that was really a big part of the era. And I think now there's so much information and so much cross-checking going on. But there was a while there where it was like people just got mesmerized by these physical guys and these attributes and the testing. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jim Druckenmiller's thing was he had a video of him. I think he strapped himself literally to like a truck or a train and pulled it or something like that. Something wild.
He's so strong. Yeah. He can carry our whole franchise.
I don't think that's going to matter for an NFL quarterback.
I need to see that. If that's a real thing, someone out there on the internet, please post that to my timeline.
That's the story. Yeah, we need to look at that. We need to look at Nick Winkler on the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah, find them both. Come on.
All right, this is a good place to take a break. I got to tell you guys about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra something, that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. And chew like you chew it. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. This is an email from Mark in Philly, and he said in parentheses, no, not that other Mark.
Oh,
so shout out to our listeners in Philly. He said, what up, Peacock and Wink? Great podcast. This is my only source for 49ers updates. Being in Philly, I'm glad I found it. I don't think we are hurting too much at corner unless Sherm regresses. Witherspoon just needs to build more confidence and have better communication with the safeties. Moore showed flashes in short playing time, but was really raw with increased pressure. I'm sure it will help the DBs out tremendously. And am I crazy to think Moore and Spoon can be solid starters? Oh, and by the way, what did you think about Tart at free safety, Harris at strong safety? Since Harris likes to play the run, that's if Colbert doesn't step up. Tart played pretty good at free safety when we still had Eric Reed. Thanks for the podcast, and thanks for the email, Mark in Philly. So a few things to unpack there. What is your confidence level? We talked a lot about this on yesterday's show. What is your confidence level in the secondary as it stands today?
It's not high. I mean, obviously, if Arrett can stay healthy, like you really like, you know, what he's done when he is on the field. So, you know, if you think about him and Sherman back there and actually getting some sort of pass rush on a quarterback, then I would feel a whole lot better. That's for sure. But yeah, I don't know. Witherspoon has shown little flashes of being good. And yeah, I don't, yeah. Kwan Williams, like, I don't know. Does he fit into the mix? Like I would say right now I'm on shaky ground when it comes to the secondary. Like I could see that there's a possibility there of being good. Once again, it all starts up front. So if the gold rush, as I'm hearing them called now, I think Delta on Twitter's been calling them that. I'm sure there's a few other people that have thrown that out there, the D line. But if they can get any sort of pressure on a quarterback, which has been lacking for years, I think that the secondary, I don't think it's going to be such a big problem.
Well, first of all, if you're going to call it the gold rush, I think they got to run that by the cheerleading squad first.
I think
right? That's
why it works.
You think they're just going to go steal that? Or do you think they got, I mean, you got to get permission. You can't just roll up and steal their name, in my opinion.
Yeah, you don't like it?
No, it's fine as long as they get permission. I mean, you can't just go steal that name.
Stuff. You just have pictures of both of them on there. I think that would sell really well.
I'm picturing some cheerleaders on the sidelines with the pom poms that are just kind of on the hips, and they're giving that look like, dude, are you serious? You're going to go with Gold Rush?
They get a Gold Rush calendar going, and it's got both of them. You like buy the wrong one.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah, have like the defensive line calendar, and they're like scantily clad and you know, like laying on motorcycles and on fire trucks and things like the cheerleader calendars.
The cheerleaders dressed up like football players.
Oh, dude, I like it. Okay. Yes, a combined Gold Rush calendar with the roles reversed. I like that.
That's how we make our real bucks.
That is a great idea. And so this is the interesting thing with the free safety position, too, and Mark talks about it. So Tart can play safety. Eventually, Sherman might be a safety sooner rather than later if he continues to get any slower than he is right now. And then you have Tarvarius Moore that might be a corner, could potentially be a safety. So maybe down the road you do have all of a sudden a bunch of guys who can play safety. And that's one of the, I think, emergency situations that the 49ers could bring out. And I'm glad Mark brought it up because not a lot of people have talked about it. I haven't really talked about it at all. Is you could play Tart at free safety and Harris at strong safety if, say, Colbert is not playing well and Jimmy Ward is hurt, which
happens.
Something that could be a possibility this season.
Right, right. I mean, the Jimmy Ward being hurt thing is just going to happen, unfortunately. I wish it wasn't a thing, but it is every single season.
Right, yeah. Verrett and Ward, basically anything they give you beyond a couple of games, I think is going to be a bonus because you just can't count on those guys, unfortunately, to be healthy and be out there for you, even though they're pretty good players.
Yeah, but again, I just think it all starts up front. I think if they can get pressure on a quarterback, it's going to it's going to erase a lot of the holes and the problems we saw in the secondary, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is going to help them no matter what. I mean, just if nothing else changes, they play exactly like they did last year. It will help a little bit. New defensive backs coach Woods coming in from Denver. Hopefully that helps a little bit. Those combined things, it might be enough, and hopefully it is enough. And the 49ers are banking on that being enough.
Yeah. Thanks, other Mark.
Yeah. Let's go to James via email. He said, Brian, Nick, love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Should be worried if Bosa deal isn't done by training camp. I have faith in Prague, his willingness to get a deal done, but could this be a different deal because of Big Bro? Remember that his brother held out until his deal got done, which I believe went into a couple weeks into the season. And yeah, I do remember that happening. From what I remember, and I didn't research that, obviously don't cover the Chargers, but from what I remember of that, that was more of a Chargers thing, and they had a policy in-house that was like, we don't do bonus structures a certain way that Bosa wants it to be done, and then that's where the holdout came from. I don't know if the 49ers have that same type of a policy. Look, all of these, that's one of my pet peeves right now, is all the reportings of draft picks being signed, because they're slotted, they're going to sign. Like, there's absolutely zero story there in a draft pick signing right now. The only story becomes if training camp starts, if you're on day two of training camp and one of your draft picks, and if it's going to be anybody, it's probably be the first round draft pick, is not signed, then let's hear about it. Let's hear the story then. But otherwise, it's really no story. And as far as Bosa goes, I don't know. I don't expect anything like that to happen, but I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. And like you said, like, it's not worth worrying about until they don't show up. Like, and again, second day. If they don't show up the first day, like, okay, that's probably when they're going to get that deal
right
done. Like, let's get it going right away.
I think that's happened numerous times with the 49ers, too, where the player is there and they sign during the first day of practices, and even might even show up the second half of practice on the first day. You know, they miss, like, the beep test or whatever.
Right.
I think that's even part of it. It'd be like, you know what, let's sign this on the second day so we don't have to do that that endurance test on the opening day of camp.
I also like that all college kids get to participate in the rookie mini camps now. I know that a few 49ers in the past haven't been able to because they're on the quarter system.
Oh, so that was the dumbest rule ever. They're not even in school.
Yeah, so dumb.
It's like, okay, I left school early. Oh, but your classmates are in school, so you
sorry.
Can't. Yeah, that was one of the dumbest, most archaic things ever. All right, more Winky Wednesday mailbag coming up. Let's check in on Anthony. He has an email. He says, Dear Brian and Wink, aloha. I hope this email finds you well. Thank you so much, Anthony.
It does.
I have been doing a lot of thinking about DeForest Buckner and his impending contract negotiations. I want to start by saying I love Defo. Defo's from Hawaii, just like I am, and we both went to the same high school. Oh, that's cool. Though I'm 10 years older than he is. Well, you paved the path for Defo.
Yeah. Without you, he may not be the man he is today.
Right. Basically, well, when Defo was coming through, they're like, Defo's like the next Anthony.
Right.
And then he's
like just a little bit bigger, I'm assuming, because he's a huge human being.
I'm guessing it's somewhat bigger than Anthony. I don't know Anthony. I don't know his measurements. Anthony, I'd love to hear if you're 6'7", 290.
He's actually,
actually, they used to call Defo Little Anthony.
Yeah.
He said, I love him as a player and an athletic specimen. So I'm very excited to see what happens when he gets to play the whole season surrounded by first-round draft picks on the D-line. But as awesome as he is, I don't think the team can justify paying him the salary he deserves. I think the team would be better served inking Eric Armstead to a long-term deal for less money. And if Defo doesn't sign a long-term team-friendly contract, we should let him walk and take the compensatory picks we get for him walking.
Interesting.
What do you think, Nick?
I don't buy it, though.
I can sense that coming from you.
Like, I see the math. I see what you're doing there. But you just don't let, a dominant defensive lineman like that walk away. Like, you just don't do it. You pay the guy. You got the cap space. You spend it. He's been such a cornerstone since he got there. You know, like, it was immediate, the impact this guy made for the 49ers. And yeah, I think he's going to have another big year this year, especially now that he can't get double teamed every time, because he's actually got some real talent around him.
The way the NFL salary cap is structured and the way that Garoppolo's contract is structured and the way the cap keeps going up, and Garoppolo was paid a lot at the beginning and the numbers looked a certain way, and it's like, oh man, okay, highest paid quarterback in the league when he signs his deal. Now he's like 16th highest paid quarterback in the league, you know? So by the time DeForest Buckner's contract goes into effect next year, I don't think you really have to worry about it. And then you don't have to sign anybody to big money after that until who? I guess it would be, Bosa would be the next guy in 5 years. You know, he's got the 4 years and then the fifth year option. So I don't see any other big contracts because nobody's that going to be paid star money besides your quarterback and Defoe. Yeah, I mean, they can afford everybody and have all of that under the cap. Maybe someone like Sherman, but eventually he's going to have to get cut or restructure or something, I'm guessing, very soon because, I mean, he's just not going to be playing cornerback at a high level for that much longer athletically, most likely. So I just don't think you have to worry about it. You pay him what he's worth. The thing is how much is that, and is it going to get contentious because he's going to ask for, you know, highest paid DT in the league. He wants Aaron Donald money. He wants that next level of cash. And maybe the 49ers are like, well, you're great, but not that great. We can't do that. So that's where I think I would worry about it a little bit. And at that point, I think you would trade Defoe and not let him walk because you can get a lot more than that third round compensatory pick anyway. So it's sign him or trade him. And I think they're going to get a deal done.
Yeah, I mean, you could also slap the franchise tag on him, too.
Right,
if you can't get a deal done and then make the trade then. And, you know, you're talking about guys that are going to get paid. I mean, I would love to have that problem, you know, where just, you know, all of a sudden Dante Pettis becomes the best wide receiver in the league and you got to pay him in a couple of years. And, you know, George Kittle's going to need a little bit of cash.
That's the one I was missing. Yeah. And, but tight end money isn't the same.
Yeah.
Even though it could be a lot. They can fit it all in. I'm not worried about the cap.
It's a good problem to have. I think I wouldn't, I think if you sign your best guys, you know, and you worry about the rest later.
Absolutely. And the cap can be manipulated too. So even if things do get tight and the 49ers are in such a great spot to start with, I think that helps him out, and it's a huge
Marate, that, like you said, man, he's a magician with that thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Let's go to Tyrone. He said, what up, BP? What up, Nick? Our Niners are looking to explode for a playoff push, seemingly to get at least 10 wins this season with a revamped roster. Outside of George Kittle, who will be Jimmy G's most dangerous weapon this coming season? I can understand saying the defense will be the most dangerous weapon, but strictly on offense, who will it be?
You know, just right off the bat, my mind went to Tevin Coleman. You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I love it. I think that he's going to be such a weapon for them. He was so good in Atlanta out of the backfield, you know, carrying the ball and catching it. I think that's an underrated signing that the 49ers are going to love.
The Tevin Coleman signing was crazy because it was just a free guy. It was just like they didn't
even. They got him for like nothing.
They didn't expect to bring him on.
Yeah.
I wonder if Tevin Coleman and, like, if Jerick McKinnon would have been a free agent this year instead of last year and didn't have the ACL thing, if they would have just signed Coleman over McKinnon,
or
if they
would have 100%,
or if they would have paid the money to McKinnon, they paid him more.
I don't think so.
It's interesting. And the other thing is, I'm kind of a team Breida guy. I seriously think Breida might be the best natural runner of those three guys.
Agreed, but you have to be out there in order to be a good running back. And he literally limped off the field every single game.
That's true. That's true. So it's a good problem to have because they can keep Breida healthy because they have two other guys that can also help carry the load. I will say one thing about Tevin Coleman, and I know there's the Atlanta connection with Kyle Shanahan, and he was a third round pick, and, you know, he's a good running back and he's got all that speed. I think he ran 4.3s coming out. He's got some, it's not so much stiffness. It's just, he's sort of a straight line runner. He's very different than the other two, and he's got more size. There's just a little bit of, I don't want to say fans are going to be disappointed by Tevin Coleman. I just think that fans know the name and saw him getting signed and think he's going to be like the number one running back, period. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I think naturally, I think Breida is just a better runner, a little bit better vision, a little bit more wiggle. I think Tevin Coleman is one of those guys that just hits it and sometimes hits a hole that's not there, doesn't quite have the vision, doesn't quite have moves on the second level, but he hits the hole and he goes. And you know, it's decisive and he just goes straight and he doesn't break a lot of tackles, doesn't make a lot of moves in the open field. McKinnon is completely different. I see him, especially coming off the ACL, as being almost strictly a passing down back. And he's being paid a lot of money just to be that. So I don't know if long-term, how long he's going to be around. If I had to guess, I would think that the guy who gets the fewest touches of those three is actually Tevin Coleman. Because I think first and second downs, the starter should be Matt Breida. I think your passing down back is Jerick McKinnon for sure. And then I think Tevin Coleman can do both of those things, but he's the change of pace or the backup to both of those guys, in which case he could still get a lot of touches. And, you know, it might be cut completely into thirds. But I think if I had to put money on it right now, and I think I mentioned this the other day, if I'm doing a fantasy football draft, I'm probably drafting the guy who's around the longest. And I think just name value wise, Matt Breida is the one being slept on more so than Tevin Coleman. That's just the way I see it right now. And we're halfway through May.
For me, I just, if I'm doing, we're talking fantasy here, I'm not touching any of them. I think there's,
dude, but one of them's going to go massive around. Though. That's the other thing. It's a Shanahan running back. They're all three good. One of them's going to go huge. So you want to have some shares, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you have it. I'll let you take them. And for me, you mentioned.
Oh, wait, hold on. So everybody listening out there, Nick and I are in a fantasy league together. He's totally trying to set me up right now and have me thinking that he's not going to draft one of these guys. And then meanwhile, he's going to draft all three of them.
All three of them early, too. I'm just going to be banking on one of them hitting it.
Guaranteed.
Start all three every week.
Really until that guy
during
hits.
The bye week.
But yeah, so anyways, the running back situation is going to be fun to watch because it can almost not go poorly at this point.
Right.
So that's the good thing.
Yeah. It's one guy's not working, you just go to the next guy.
Right.
Well, you mentioned Coleman too. How he's that you know, one move and go guy, but that's kind of what Shanahan, that's the system. You know, that's why they drafted Joe Williams. Like, that was his thing.
That's the one cut. And basically, Joe Williams was the poor man's version of Tevin Coleman. Yeah. That's exactly what Shanahan saw in Joe Williams, I'm guessing, is he's like, oh, this is my Tevin Coleman now. Sweet.
I think that at the end of the year, I think when it all shakes out, I think Tevin Coleman's going to have the most yards combined of all three guys.
You're Tevin Coleman. Okay, that's going to be a good one. I think we might have to bet on this because I think I would put I would put Breida in there.
Okay, and I bet there's people out there that are Tig McKinnon. So, I like it.
McKinnon's got the contract, and you know they love McKinnon because they wanted him above everybody last offseason.
Right.
So if he's healthy, and if the 49ers are passing a lot, he might be the guy that's on the field a lot.
I think that's the Twitter poll right there.
So, and it's all-purpose yardage, right?
All yards.
Yeah, yep. All yards from scrimmage. That's tough. It could go any way very easily.
It really could.
All right, yards from scrimmage.
All right.
I like it.
Coleman.
I want to hear from you guys on Twitter, at BD Peacock. Hit me up. Who's your guy? Which running back is it going to be? Coleman?
Tag Breida? Area Wink. I want to hear it.
Yeah, tag Wink as well. And then he'll give us a wink in the stink next week when we start talking about your poll results and we start talking about this. So what place did you get in of the three from Wheel of Fortune?
I got first. I went to the end.
And did you get the final?
I did not. No.
Oh.
And everyone that I've shown it to, not one single person has been able to guess the final puzzle.
Oh, that's so another challenge.
Why did you get any letters? You know, they give you the four letters or, you know, the four consonants and the vowel. And there was like two letters. And I said all my letters and then I got none.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh,
all right,
I didn't even guess.
So don't spoil it. We're going to see if you are a YouTube master and you're able to find that. What would be the keys to search to find this thing?
I think you just put my name in and Wheel of Fortune. I don't know.
Okay.
It was like the year 2000. There's nothing. It was like Cruise Week
and White
or something. Or Ships Ahoy Week.
Cute. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to find it.
And I'll do my best to find my digital copy of it too and try to get it back up.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. Or just take some stills from it.
At least we need some stills. Yeah. Because I think we need to put that out there in the world.
Yeah. Everybody needs to see it. It's super important.
It's very important.
See, baby wink. Somebody today called me Nikki Winks.
It's like, the off season, so it's like the draft happened. This is the next most important thing, I think, for most 49ers fans.
I think you're right.
Before training camp.
Right. Okay, I'll get on it. I'll do my part.
All right, thank you. And thanks for joining me once again, Nick.
My pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.